I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It happened. It happened on January 8th. I piled up the Christmas decorations. It was hard. It was a little bittersweet because it was such a good Christmas with the family all in town. However, I will say there is this caveat. The tree does not come down yet. So all of the ornaments are off the tree. All of the Christmas decorations around the house have been taken down. The tinsel and the various pillows. I have lots of stuffed snowmen. I love snowmen. I'm a snowman shill. And so all of the Christmas decorations have been piled up. They're ready to be packed and put into the attic again once I'm brave enough to go up there. Once I feel like I haven't heard any scratching and running around in my attic for at least 2 weeks. Or maybe I will take a noisemaker and some bright lights up there and scare whatever it is to go scurrying into the darkness. Either way, all of the Christmas decorations are piled up, but the tree stays up until the Saturday before Championship Sunday, which is about a week and a half. It's actually not bad. It still smells really good, and it's not hemorrhaging pine needles, and I really just love the lights. So for now, I still have a very large plant in my living room and it still has its pretty lights. And that's usually my source of light. Once the sun goes down, I don't have a whole lot of other lights on in the house. So we've begun the divesting of the holiday cheer. I was out walking the dog a couple days ago and I walked by this man who was outside taking down all of his Christmas decorations, his lights that were on the bushes, his lawn ornaments, which I don't do anything outside. I only do stuff inside. And he said to me, "This is the sad part of the holidays." So at least I'm not alone in feeling like it's a little bit bittersweet to pull down all the Christmas decorations. However, this is my grand revelation for this week. Telling other humans when they should take down their Christmas decorations and their Christmas trees is a colossal waste of time. If you tell me my Christmas tree should already be down, guess what? It's going to stay up for another week. Yeah, we shouldn't be telling other humans when they should take down their Christmas decorations. Though I did get a tweet from a firefighter today telling me that there are a lot of home fires that are started by people who have Christmas trees that are far too dry in their house, their houses. But mine's good. And it smells good. And it makes me happy. So it's going to stay up for another few days. However, the rest, the red, the green, the cute little snowmen, the bells, those have been all packed away. Except for the bells that Jerry Jones is hearing. That's a completely different set of bells. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you survived your hump day. We certainly survived our hump show. Wednesday's always my recovery day. From September through the end of football season, Wednesday's the day that I use to recover. It feels like the weekend almost. And so it was good to catch up on some sleep and some other things around the house that I needed to do. I did some cooking on Wednesday evening, and now it's full speed ahead toward yet another football weekend, right? So we have a lot to talk about from the football world, but also we've got news on Anthony Davis. We've got classic Jimmy Butler. You know what? It appears to me as though we may have finally seen the part of Jimmy Butler that went ballistic in a practice when he was still with the Bulls. Remember that story a couple years ago? It was the Timberwolves right before he left there. And remember there was the report that he had gone ballistic on his own teammates in practice? Yeah, we might have seen a little bit of that in a game with the Miami Heat on Wednesday night. Also, and this is, I'm going to treat it with humor. If you know anything about me, you know that I take a generally irreverent approach to sports. It's not life or death. It's not the war in Iraq. It's just sports. It's entertainment. I know it's a business, but to you and me, it's fun and games. So I try not to take it too seriously. And so there is this one particular story coming out of the sports world in the last few hours that I am going to handle with humor. I get that it could be a lot worse and people could make a lot more out of it, but I'm going to turn this unfortunate soul into our sad sap of the week, and we're going to treat it with some humor. So we have a lot to do. Tom Brady uses Instagram to let you know his future plans, I think. And it's amazing to me that there can be a trend on Twitter with nearly 100,000 tweets about a person I've never heard of. It's a sign of just how hip your host is. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And why do you care? Well, here's why. Not that long ago, I tweeted, 2020 is the year of the what? It's the year of the blank. We're going to do a little game of fill in the blank for tonight's show. This is inspired by a billboard that I saw when I was driving to work. Now, this billboard was not a sports billboard. And it said 2020 is the year of the nurse. If I'm not mistaken, the billboard was for a particular nursing school. So go get your nursing degree. And it's true, the medical industry has a need for nurses and is continuing to grow. So that's a little side note. 2020 is the year of the what in sports. We're going to do a little game of fill in the blank for tonight's show. So whether you consider it foreshadowing, whether you consider it wishful thinking, or whether you believe that there are certain trends that we can carry forward into 2020, whatever it is, let's play a game of fill in the blank for tonight's show. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I actually didn't put it up on Facebook yet, but I will. 2020. Oh, producer Chris beat me to it because he's awesome. 2020 is the year of the blank. Whatever it is. But if it's a weird one, you might have to do some splaining. Also, if your Twitter handle doesn't have a name associated with it, I'm generally not going to use it. So you might want to let me know where you are and what your name is if you would like me to identify you. 2020 is the year of the White Sox, according to one tweet. don't take it personally when I laugh. Okay, so on Twitter, on Facebook, our phone number 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in on the phones as well. 2020 is the year of the what? Mike McCarthy introduced by the Dallas Cowboys, and his press conference was decidedly different than the one that Matt Rhule had to be introduced as the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, though both, I think, came with some fairly intriguing information. It's kind of interesting to see Mike McCarthy as an emotional soul. Now, if you talk to people who know him, players who have played for him, he definitely does wear his heart on his sleeve. In fact, that's an exact quote from AJ Hawk when he was on the show about a month ago. Obviously, prior to him getting the job in Dallas. He wears his heart on his sleeve. But not only did we see him get really emotional in his conversation, his sit down, the video series that was done with Tom Pelissero of NFL Network about what McCarthy has been up to in the last year, trying to make himself a better coach. But he also got really emotional in talking about the journey that took him to Dallas. I kind of like to see the other side of some of these coaches and athletes. Now, with Jimmy Butler, he takes the emotions a little bit too far. But for Mike McCarthy, you can tell this feels like some redemption for him. It feels like maybe the end. Not that he doesn't have a lot of work to do moving forward, but it feels like the culmination of what's been a difficult road since he got fired in Green Bay.
This past year has been a year of reflection. My wife said I won't make it through 10 words. I think I got to about six. But reflection of just what a blessed man I am. Great moments that I've been a part of. My wife is the love of my life. You know, we have beautiful children, come from a blessed family, you know, and professionally was able to lift the Lombardi Trophy.
Sometimes having something we really value taken away from us can, if we allow it to, give us this incredible perspective. We don't take it for granted anymore. Instead of feeling entitled, we feel thankful when we get another opportunity. And I'd said this when McCarthy first got hired, when I was talking to you about why I'm so happy for him, because I've been fired twice. And both times I wondered if that was the end of my career. At my previous network, we went through a bunch of different rotations of bosses and program directors, and every single one of them affected me and my workload. Some I got more work, some I got less work. I got passed over multiple times for full-time jobs that I was in the running for. And so in this business, as I'm sure in your own businesses, wherever you are, whatever you do, there are disappointments, and maybe you've been fired. Maybe you've been laid off. Maybe you've been a person who got passed over for a promotion. It's easy to understand why McCarthy is emotional. And while I'm sure he's a confident guy, we've heard him say it before, maybe he wondered if there would be another opportunity as good as what he had in Green Bay, or what it would take to pick up his family and move, or how long he would be out of the business, and whether or not other teams would pass him by because he'd been fired. Sometimes when you're fired, this definitely happens in our business. Sometimes when you've been fired, people are afraid to associate with you because they think it's contagious. I'm sure there was all kinds of doubts, maybe some hesitation, some fear in there as well, because he's human. And here's the culmination of that journey. And it's pretty impressive that Mike McCarthy goes from one of the most iconic franchises in sports to America's team. Another one that is high profile, high pressure. Will he become only the first coach in NFL history ever to win a Super Bowl with two different franchises? That remains to be seen. But you can tell, just getting to this point, how much he appreciates what he has, how he's not taking for granted this opportunity. And I like that. It's a bit of a journey, as he says. Now, when it comes to Jerry Jones, he's a guy that always has a funny way of expressing himself. You may have seen the quote on the internet or on social media today about hearing bells. Well, you will hear what that has to do with Mike McCarthy coming up. But he also admits he's been really interested in McCarthy for quite a while. Plus more details on that extra day that McCarthy spent in Dallas and why he ended up staying over in Dallas and not going home, even though that was the original plan. And your responses are pouring in. Oh, but first, producer Chris put up a poll on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Which NFL head coach of the new hires do you believe will be the most successful? See, Chris is really getting to know me. I don't like it when we ask people to predict the future, because you can't predict the future. But if you share your opinion, that's a completely different thing. So Mike McCarthy, Ron Rivera, Matt Rhule, Joe Judge. How many times do you think I'll call him Aaron over the course of the next year? Or Judge Judy? Is that acceptable? She's a badass. I'm just saying, if he is anywhere near as successful as Judge Judy, we have some really funny Judge Judy stuff in our system. Anyway, I probably won't call him Judge Judy because that's a little different. But Aaron Judge, that will definitely happen. So check out our show poll, After Hours CBS. And then while you're on Twitter or you're on Facebook, fill in the blank. 2020 is the year of the what? We are off and running, peeps. Fourth show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
It came together rather quickly, this new partnership between Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. If you watched the press conference or heard any of the comments from either McCarthy or Jerry Jones on Wednesday, you know that there's a definite connection there. Both these guys are very excited for a fresh start. They feel like this is maybe a bend in the road for each of them, both individually as well as a new team. And at least right now, they're still in the honeymoon period because it doesn't appear as though there's any type of friction between a McCarthy, who's an alpha male, and his general manager, Jerry Jones, who is the general manager that also is in the spotlight and prides himself on being involved in every single aspect of the football team. Aaron Rodgers has an opinion about that. We'll hear from him a little bit later on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jerry says this is not a couple of days in the making. In fact, he has been keeping his eye on Mike McCarthy now for quite a while.
I knew Mike McCarthy before he ever walked through these doors. And I knew it from a lot of different directions. So that while our time together initially talking about this job was meaningful, so much more went into how and why he's sitting at this table today.
This has been years in the making, maybe going back to the days when McCarthy and the Green Bay Packers won a Super Bowl at AT&T Stadium. Obviously not against the Cowboys, but having it in your own building, certainly impressive. Well, what about McCarthy? Why is this the right spot for him?
This is an unbelievable facility, but the reality of it is you don't just see it, you feel it. And that's something that's real for everybody that has a chance to walk through these doors. And I just want to tell you, you know, the importance and the understanding of how to protect and be the steward of this iconic franchise.
And that really is part of the allure. It doesn't matter how many mediocre seasons the Cowboys have. This is one of the storied, iconic franchises in sports. It transcends football. Now, inside football circles, maybe some of the shine has been rubbed off of the Cowboys star. But not to the point where any head coach, maybe not any, most head coaches would at least stop and pause when an offer is made or when there is interest. And for Mike McCarthy to go from the Green Bay Packers to the Dallas Cowboys, you think that was worth the year off? It's the facilities. It's the aura of AT&T Stadium. It's the star. It's America's team. It's the national TV appearances. It's being in the spotlight, all of which he's used to on a, albeit smaller scale, and not a much smaller scale, because certainly the Green Bay Packers are extremely well known and are also one of those franchises with such tradition and history. But being in Green Bay prepared him for taking this step to Dallas. So what about the Super Bowl? Because that's the most important part, right? If you can't win, well, then the shine will rub off this Mike McCarthy tenure as well.
I'm just going to say this, and to the fans, and you know, the commitment will be unwavering, but you know, I won my first Super Bowl here in North Texas at AT&T Stadium, and I just want to tell you, I am anxious and excited to get to work on winning the next Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly what the fans want to hear. And you know what? I like this hire and the Ron Rivera hire also in the NFC East. I'm interested to see what Matt Rhule is going to do with the Panthers. I kind of feel like I'd rather we didn't have to wait for the long spring and summer and fall. Now I'm thinking, man, there's only 7 games left. It's going to be a long time before we see Mike McCarthy in action on the sidelines for the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, if we didn't have spring and summer, we'd be deprived of great stories like, you know, Antonio Brown and the cryogenic chamber and his frostbitten feet. I wonder what this football offseason has in store for us. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So for Mike McCarthy, this is, we talked about his emotion. And even as Jerry Jones was telling his stories about spending the time together, it was kind of funny to hear McCarthy talk about the story. Again, this is a side of Coach McCarthy that we don't see very often, but the story, the moment when he knew.
Jerry's telling a story about the purchase of the Dallas Cowboys. And at the end of the story, he leans over to me and he grabs him by the forearm and reaches out to shake my hand. He says, "And you need to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys." So I jumped up and hugged him. But and I'll stop right there. We had a hell of a time. Just
the laughing you hear, by the way, is Stephen Jones. It's a man after my own heart. He laughs at everything anybody says. And it's such a loud laugh, too. I feel like we might be kindred spirits. So, yes, there was a moment where Jerry Jones reached out and grabbed Mike McCarthy's arm and said, "You need to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys." And McCarthy was waiting for that moment. He knew. And he jumped up and he hugged Jerry Jones. Can I tell you, that's totally something I would do. I've done that before when I felt like I was really excited about a potential job interview or a job offer. I've hugged people after interviewing. I know I'm a girl, but hey, Mike McCarthy did it too. So that's McCarthy's emotional moment. What about Jerry Jones? What convinced Jerry Jones that Mike McCarthy was the right guy for the job ultimately?
I did hear bells. My sister explained to my dad one time when she was explaining why she wanted to divorce. And Dad loved her husband, and he said, "What's gotten into you?" And she said, "I don't hear bells." He said, "Bells? Bells? I hadn't heard bells for the last 30 years. What's that got to do with it?"
Stephen again.
Well, the bottom line is that's a dad trying to advise his daughter on the right move. The bottom line is I heard bells.
Do you think Stephen Jones and I could be related? Or maybe just spirit animals? We both have these loud, obnoxious laughs. And he was on the mic, and everything that was happening, he was laughing. I don't actually know if he said anything. I just know he laughed a lot. The bottom line is, I heard bells. That's a direct quote from one Jerry Jones, and one that I'm confident we will hear again over and over again. Because now that we have it on tape, oh, well, it's a very useful tool. Which NFL head coach do you think will be the most successful moving forward with his new franchise? And we still are waiting on the Cleveland Browns, but it's so convenient because Twitter polls only have 4 spots and the Browns haven't picked their coach yet. So, you know, you're on the outside looking in there, Cleveland, at least for now. Mike McCarthy, Ron Rivera, Matt Rhule, Joe Judge, Judy. I actually have a really hard time with this because I, as much as I believe that Mike McCarthy is going to be great for Dallas, I believe the same thing about Ron Rivera, and the Redskins have a lot farther up to climb. Does that make sense? They're farther down than the Dallas Cowboys. And so I believe that Rivera's impact will be so palpable and so immediate because it will be so drastic from what they've had. So this is a tough one. But I like the poll. You can find that on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Coming up, year of the what? 2020 is the year of the what?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bam, out on that wing. Robinson's got 3 on the way, off the rim, and the rebound to Jimmy Butler. Butler back inside to Bam. Bam slams it down. and he is fouled. And he'll go to the line as Jimmy Butler says, yeah, he got it into his big man down inside. 17 points for Bam now. Totter gets that ball to trying to get a timeline. Gets it to Goran Dragic. Dragic, alley-oop inside, and a two-hand jam. Derrick Jones Jr. airplane mode there. 107-81, Miami now up by 26.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Miami Heat certainly responded to their coach calling them mediocre. Guess that's one way. One way to get your team's attention. So Eric Spoelstra categorized the Miami Heat as mediocre on the road going into their game against the Pacers on Wednesday. So not only were they cranky, maybe a little bit defensive, annoyed, testy. All of those words might have applied to how the team was feeling. Edgy. Not only were they probably not thrilled with their coach calling them out, but Jimmy Butler used Wednesday night's game as an opportunity to light a fire or throw some gasoline on the fire, as it were. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was a big win for them, 122-108. And other than the fourth quarter, where they were outscored by double figures, they beat the Pacers in every quarter. They were over 30 points in every quarter. They defended well. So this was not a mediocre performance on the road. It was a positive performance on the road. But in the third quarter, Butler, who you know is fiery and extremely intense all the time, he's always willing to fight you. He reminds me of Steve Smith. No, wait. Who's the... Yes, it was Steve Smith, the former Panthers receiver that then went to the Ravens. Yeah. So, love him. Shorter guy, extremely intense. Fight his own guys, fight other guys. He's always ready to fight you. So that's Jimmy Butler. He lives on the edge. He reminds me a little bit of a Russell Westbrook in that type of intensity. And so Butler and Warren are kind of bumping. They're banging and bumping. They're gesturing back and forth. They're exchanging words. They're guarding one another. And so they're matched up, and that's only escalating things. And at one point, Warren draws an offensive foul on Butler, who was kind of swinging the ball in his arms through. And as Warren draws this offensive foul, he starts taunting Butler and promptly gets ejected. So then Butler takes the opportunity to blow him kisses on his way out of the arena. Isn't that sweet? Goodbye. I will miss you. That was just the culmination. It had been going on and back and forth. And if you see some of the videos from the Heat-Pacers game, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. What were the chances that Butler was going to remain quiet, remain silent, take the high road after the game? Little to none, I'm assuming.
I mean, to me, I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, he got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful. And it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, you know, he's talking about, oh, we're going to fight this, that. It is what it is to me.
And then what did you notice the middle finger from him and was the blowing of the kiss?
He's soft. He's not even in my like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like, no, put somebody else on me because I'm a tear his ass up every time.
All right. Jimmy Butler, never been one to hold back. He does, in fact, speak his mind. Is 2020 the year of Jimmy Butler? We have actually decided, I think, we're about 90% convinced that coming up on Thursday night into Friday morning, so the final show of the work week, the next show, we're going to do a Hall of Flame induction, the first of 2020. We have not done one in a couple months. We've been really busy on Fridays, obviously, really busy with the football season. But we've compiled a pretty impressive collection of audio. And now Jimmy Butler gives us yet another piece. He didn't say, I heard bells, but it's just as good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Leslie, who's in Alabama. Welcome to After Hours.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You have a couple questions on the table, like this is going to be the year of the fill-in-the-blank.
Yes.
And then you are asking about the new coaches. Okay, so number one, okay, I say that that it's going to be the year of the underdog, but the Chinese say it's going to be the year of the rat.
Why? Why would anyone want it to be the year of the rat?
Well, they do it by animals. They have like a rooster.
I know that part. I just don't understand why anyone would ever want it to be the year of the rat.
Okay, that's true. Okay. Okay, and then number two, the question would be about the coach.
Right.
After you're doing those sound bites with McCarthy and Jones,
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, so, I do too.
Yeah. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome, Leslie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
The year of the rat. Like, I understand how the Chinese zodiac works, but why would you ever need it to be the year of the rat? And for people who live in big cities, our headquarters happen to be in New York City, in Manhattan. We see enough rats, so I'm good. I don't need it to be the year of the rat. Ick. 855-212-4227. Did I already say the Geico thing? Okay, good. We're good. I'm good. Everybody's good. Speaking of Miami, because we were just talking about the Miami Heat, we will be taking our show on the road to Miami for Super Bowl week, and we are already making plans. And so we've got some interviews in place already. We're not going to give it away yet. We'll wait. Sometimes plans change, too. As you know, you got to be willing to be flexible. But we will definitely be doing three shows from 790 The Ticket, our home in Miami, as of, I don't know, 6-7 months. It's not been that long. Actually, I take that back. It's definitely not been that long. We switched over in two of our major cities, Boston and Miami, in the summertime. So it's been just a few months since we jumped over. But that's where you can find us in South Florida. And I'm looking forward to doing a few shows from there, getting back to Miami. And, of course, it's going to be exciting because at least right now we're guaranteed three new teams in the AFC and NFC championship games. So Championship Sunday is guaranteed of at least three new teams. We'll see what happens with the Kansas City Chiefs. Remember, they were the host last year of the Patriots. They went into overtime. But we already know that the Saints and the Rams and the Patriots are all out. So it remains to be seen if Kansas City can repeat into the Final Four. But this fresh blood is fun. I like it. And I like what Leslie had to say about 2020 being the year of the underdog, because that's a fun theme in sports. It's always fun to root for the underdog. I don't know. Yeah, I think that would be the case. You could call the Washington Nationals the underdog. Not only do they face elimination so many times in the month of October, but they were 18 games below 500 in May. And so the entire year they spent scraping and fighting and scratching and clawing to get into position to be a wild card, and then had to play from behind, so to speak, as a wild card. You are not in a position of power. So we got a big underdog story in 2019. We also got the culmination of the St. Louis Blues. You could have called them an underdog too, after the way that they were last, as in worst record in the NHL in the month of January. So that's almost self-contained, though they spent a good portion of 2018 falling into last place. But they rallied to win the Stanley Cup, their first in Game 7, also on the road. So good stuff there. We had two really incredible championships in, and the Toronto Raptors, of course, taking out the Golden State Warriors, and the Patriots being the other, and some of the other peripheral sports too, getting first time champs like the Washington Mystics in the WNBA. It'd be hard to top in 2020 if it's going to be the year of the underdog. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Brian says 2020 is the year of the mobile quarterback. The age of the pocket passer is passé. That seems to be a trend that we are seeing a little more of. Now, running quarterback would, or mobile quarterback, Lamar Jackson takes it to the next level. He's a running quarterback along the lines of, say, Randall Cunningham or a Mike Vick. Mobile quarterback to me would be like a Deshaun Watson. He's not a running quarterback, but he's definitely mobile. Josh Allen. We've got quarterbacks who can move, who can use their feet. Though, especially with the young guys, the older they get, the less they will be doing that if they want to preserve their longevity in the NFL. Another tweet. 2020 is the year of the new dynasties. And then he uses the hashtag Go Niners. Daryl says 2020 is the year of new beginnings. Always. When is it not? Tammy says 2020 is the year of the 40-something QB's failure. Oh. Okay. We'll see.
It's my quarterback.
Tom Brady, by the way, doesn't plan on retiring. Now, it's been a little odd to hear Bob Kraft say that he hopes and prays, in fact, he's praying really hard, that Tom Brady either re-signs with the Patriots or retires. It's kind of this idea of, I don't want to see him play anywhere else. But come on, man. If you are the owner of a team and you don't re-sign him, then you don't have any say over his future. If you didn't see Tom Brady's Instagram post, we will get to that coming up after the top of the hour. I'm not an Insta girl. I'm not an Insta girl, but it made headlines all over the place. Philip says 2020 is the year of the mouse. LOL. I think he's laughing at me because of the creatures in my attic. Well, you know, as long as it makes you laugh. So again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Greg says it's the year of the wallaby. Why? Is there a new team that's going to be called the Wallabies? Wallabies are not so scary. They look kind of cute, actually. We got a lot of you weighing in on Facebook as well. Joan says 2020 is the year of the Ravens. Bill says 2020 is the year of the Olympic dream. George, it's the year of changing of the guard. Fill in the blank. 2020 is the year of the what? Tom Brady on Insta next. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.